Welcome to our deep dive today. We're going to crack open this fascinating legal case all about how like simple actions can turn into contracts.
Yeah.
Legally binding contracts.
Yeah.
We're looking at Industrial America, Inc., Fulton Industries, Inc.
Mm.
And this case went all the way up to the Delaware Supreme Court.
It did.
And it has some pretty huge implications for anyone who like deals with contracts at all.
Right, which is pretty much.
Yeah, which is everyone, right?
I mean, yeah, pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. This case really, I think it really gets to the core of some of the fundamental principles of contract formation.
Right.
And it really shows how just an ad can actually be a binding offer and why your actions, legally speaking, speak way louder than whatever you were thinking.
Yeah, definitely. So what happened
in
this case? Give us the rundown.
So at the heart of it, you have this broker, Industrial America, and they're trying to get a commission from Fulton Industries for helping Fulton merge with another company called Bush Hog Inc., or BH for short.
Gotcha.
And Industrial America is saying, hey, we deserve this commission because Fulton, you know, they put out this ad that said brokers fully protected.
Okay.
So to Industrial America, that means, hey, if we bring you a deal, we get paid. Sounds straightforward enough, right?
Yeah.
But here's where things take a turn because a jury, a jury actually sided with Fulton initially.
Oh, wow. Why is that?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like a pretty straightforward case.
Yeah. So the jury, they decided that Industrial America, they didn't actually rely on that ad when they submitted BH's name as a potential merger partner.
Okay.
So the thinking was maybe they had other motives, you know, for suggesting Bush Hog.
Okay.
But here's the plot twist.
Gotcha.
The Delaware Supreme Court, they stepped in and they said, not so fast.
Okay.
They overturned that jury verdict.
Wow.
And that's where this key legal lesson comes in.
Okay. I'm hooked now.
Right.
Tell me what happened.
So the Supreme Court, they basically said it doesn't really matter what Industrial America was thinking internally, right?
Okay.
What matters is they performed the action of submitting BH's name.
Hmm.
And that was enough to make a contract based on the ad.
Okay.
And this is where we get into this fascinating concept called objective manifestation of assent.
Right.
Which
is a mouthful.
It's a mouthful, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
But basically, it's legalese for saying what you do is way more important than what you're thinking when it comes to making a contract.
Okay, so even if Industrial America, like, had other reasons for, you know, suggesting Bush Hog, like, I don't know, maybe they were also hoping to get, like, a finder's fee from Bush Hog.
Exactly.
Their action.
Yeah.
Still created a binding agreement with Fulton.
That's exactly it, yeah. The court, they emphasized this point that your motive, like your inner thoughts, your secret motivations, those don't carry the same weight as your actions do when you're forming a contract.
So it's like, I could accidentally enter a contract without even realizing it just by doing something.
It's not quite accidental because you still have to know about the offer, right?
Okay.
So in this case, Industrial America, they knew about the ad.
Right.
But the takeaway is your actions can, in fact, make a binding agreement, even if you had other motivations, like in your head.
Okay.
So be careful what you put in writing.
Right.
Because, you know, your words can have legal weight.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's another layer to this that makes it even more, like, interesting, is that this presumption of acceptance, right?
Right.
By doing something.
Right.
It's not absolute.
Oh, really? Now you've got me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. It can be rebutted.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, Industrial America, before they submitted Bush Hog's name, they sent an email to Fulton saying, hey, we don't agree to those terms in the ad.
Gotcha.
Well, that would have been like a clear rejection of Fulton's offer.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
The outcome might have been totally different.
So it's all about being explicit, right? Like making sure your intentions are really clear in your communication, even if you like do something that like could be seen as acceptance.
It's about being very clear in what you're doing.
Right.
And that's, you know, that nuance, it makes this case all the more compelling because it shows how like contract law isn't always so black and white, right?
Yeah.
There are shades of gray, and this case really illustrates that perfectly.
This is already like making me rethink how I approach agreements. in my own work.
Yeah.
But before we go any further, I think we need like a moment to absorb all this.
Okay.
I have a feeling this is just the tip of the iceberg. Mm,
totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think I'm ready to like get back into this Industrial America Inc. V. Fulton Industries Inc. Now, where were we?
Yeah, so we were talking about how the jury, they really focused on whether Industrial America like actually relied on the ad from Fulton when they submitted Bush Hogg's name.
Right, right. They were trying to figure out like Industrial America's true motive.
Exactly. Yeah, and the Delaware Supreme Court, they basically said, hold on a second. That's not the right question to be asking. They kind of shifted things to this objective standard, meaning they looked at how would a reasonable person interpret this whole situation rather than trying to like read anyone's mind.
So like they weren't trying to get into Industrial America's head. They were just saying, let's look at like the evidence. What did they do?
Exactly. Yeah. What did the parties actually do that shows they agreed? And that's where, you know, this concept of objective manifestation of assent comes into play.
Right.
The court was basically saying, show me the evidence. You know, what did they actually do to show this agreement?
And in this case, like submitting Bush Hogg's name.
Right.
That was seen as objective evidence that they agreed to those terms, even if in their head they were thinking something else.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is like a huge lesson for anyone who's involved in, you know, negotiating deals. Don't just rely on unspoken assumptions or, you know, good intentions.
Yeah.
Like focus on concrete things like emails, submissions, payments.
Right, right, right. Like create that paper trail.
Yeah, exactly. Because those are the things that will hold up in court.
So no more like handshake deals, huh?
Well, I mean, handshake deals, they can work sometimes, but it's always best to have something in writing, right? Just to be on the safe side.
Totally. Yeah. It's all about like making it super clear. You know, leaving no room for like doubt.
Yeah.
About what you guys agreed on.
Absolutely. And this case has even more to teach us. Do you remember those procedural issues we talked about earlier?
Oh, right, right. With like the jury instructions and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So the trial court, they gave the jury some pretty specific instructions.
Okay.
They told them to consider whether Industrial America was like excluded from the negotiations or if there was like a substantial break in the process.
Gotcha.
And the Delaware Supreme Court, they upheld those instructions.
Okay.
So this part of the decision, it shows another important legal principle, which is that, you know, appellate courts, they usually defer to trial courts on matters of evidence and jury instructions, unless there's like a clear abuse of discretion.
So basically, the higher courts are saying, we trust that the trial court did everything by the book and we're not going to question them unless they made a major error.
That's a good way to put it,
yeah.
So in this case, they found that the jury's findings, they were consistent with this objective standard of contract formation. So there was no reason to like overturn the trial court's decision on those procedural points.
It's interesting, though, how those like seemingly small procedural details can like really make a big difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Procedural rules, I know they might seem dry and technical and all that.
Right.
But they play a huge role in making sure that the process is like fair.
Totally. Okay. So we've really gotten into the weeds here with this Industrial America Inc. Fulton Industries Inc. case. But I think the big question is, why should people care?
Right.
How does this like apply to the average person?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And the answer is, this case, it goes way beyond just a broker's commission.
Mm.
It's really about understanding those basic principles that govern contracts.
Okay.
And contracts, they're the building blocks of our society.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Explain that a little bit more.
Sure. So think about it. Contracts, they're everywhere.
Right.
They're the foundation of business deals, you know, employment agreements, leases, even simple things like buying a cup of coffee.
Wow, I never thought of it that way. So you're saying like every time I swipe my credit card or sign a receipt, I'm basically entering into a contract.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah.
And this case, it really highlights that those contracts, they are enforceable.
Okay.
And courts will look at our actions, not just our intentions, to decide if a contract exists.
So the message is like, be careful what you do because it could create like a legal obligation.
Precisely, yeah. That's why it's so important to be aware of at least the basics of contract law.
Right.
Even if you're not a lawyer.
This is really eye-opening. I feel like I'm seeing these everyday things
right.
in a whole new light.
Yeah.
But before I get too ahead of myself, can we bring it back to Industrial America, Inc., V. Fulton Industries, Inc., and like its practical takeaways?
Absolutely, yeah. This case, it has a lot of valuable lessons for everyone, you know, from like big time business folks to everyday people.
Okay, so what are those key takeaways from the case?
Well, first of all, you really got to be mindful of the power of words.
Mm.
Advertisements, emails, even casual conversations.
Right.
They can create legal obligations if they're structured like an offer and then accepted by what you do.
So no more like, you know, making promises I don't intend to keep.
Yeah.
Even as a joke.
I mean, yeah, you gotta be careful, right?
Yeah.
Think before you speak.
Right.
And be aware that, you know, your words could have these unintended legal consequences.
Gotcha.
Second, when you're, you know, working out a deal, really focus on documenting the agreement.
Okay.
Clearly and explicitly. Don't leave anything to chance.
Right. Email, signed documents, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure it's all in writing.
Right, right.
And lastly, remember that courts will interpret contracts objectively based on like what a reasonable person would understand from the party's words and actions.
Right.
So your secret intentions, they're not going to hold up if they're not reflected in what you're actually doing.
Okay.
It's all about being clear, being consistent,
right.
and making sure your actions match your words.
Got it. Yeah. And like if I ever find myself in a contractual dispute, I'll just keep repeating that line from the case. Actions speak louder than words.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's a good reminder for all of us.
This has been an amazing deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much about like this really under-discussed area of contract law.
Yeah, for sure.
But before we wrap up, there's one question that's been like bugging me.
Okay, let's hear it.
What if Industrial America submitted Bush Hogg's name as a joke? Like, they weren't being serious about the merger.
Mm.
They just thought it would be funny to, like, throw their name into the mix.
Right.
Would a contract still exist in that scenario?
That is a fantastic question.
Yeah.
And it gets to the heart of the complexity of contract law.
Yeah.
And the answer, as with many legal things, is it depends.
Oh, come on. You can't leave me hanging like that. Give me some legal insight.
Okay. Here's the thing. For a contract to be valid, there has to be a meeting of the minds,
right.
meaning both parties, they have to have this like genuine intention to enter into a legally binding agreement, right?
Okay.
If one party is clearly joking,
right.
and the other party knows it's a joke,
yeah.
or reasonably should know it's a joke,
gotcha.
Then there's no real meeting of the minds,
right.
and a court might say, well, there's no contract here.
So in this hypothetical case, it would come down to whether Fulton like knew or should have known that Industrial America wasn't being serious.
Exactly. Yeah. And that would involve looking at like all the surrounding circumstances, the
right.
parties' past dealings, the tone of their communication and so on.
Right.
It would really be a question of fact for the court to decide.
Wow. Contracts are like serious business.
They are.
Even like simple actions can have these big consequences.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to be informed, to understand your rights and obligations
what?
and to seek legal advice if you need it.
Well said.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, I think we need a second to like gather our thoughts before we go into the like the final part of this Industrial America and Guy Fulton Industries Inc.
Okay.
Stay with us. We have more to uncover. Welcome back. We're about to wrap up our deep dive into Industrial America, Inc. v. Fulton Industries, Inc., but not before we look at some of its lasting implications, right?
That's right. Yeah. We've been kind of exploring this often hidden world of contract law and
yeah.
how this whole idea of objective manifestation of assent can really catch you by surprise.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been a pretty eye-opening discussion, I'd say. And I think our listeners are coming away with a much better understanding of how these simple actions that we take can have some like pretty serious legal consequences. Yeah, totally.
Now, before we close the book on this case, I want to revisit that cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
You left us with about Industrial America submitting Bush Hogg's name as like a joke.
Right, right. That hypothetical where it throws a wrench into the whole idea of a contract even being formed.
Yeah. So let's say for the sake of argument, they were totally joking when they submitted that name. What are some of the things a court would consider when deciding if there's actually a contract there?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, it really comes down to whether there was this, like, genuine meeting of the minds.
Right.
The court, they'd have to look at all the evidence, any past communications, any industry practices, and anything that might show that one side wasn't being serious about the deal.
So if, like, Industrial America had a history of sending prank submissions, or, I don't know, maybe they followed up their Bush Hog suggestion with, like, a winky face emoji, that might suggest they weren't actually trying to make a deal. Exactly, yeah. Those little clues could be really important for a court to decide that, you know what, there wasn't this genuine agreement, even if, technically, they did the thing, they submitted the name.
Huh. So it's kind of like a legal detective story?
Right.
Where you have to, like, piece together all these little clues to figure out what was really going on in their heads.
Yeah, exactly. Contract law, a lot of times it involves interpretation, reading between the lines,
right,
and understanding those subtle ways that people communicate.
So how can people protect themselves, like, from accidentally making contracts?
Right.
When they're just, you know, trying to be funny or sarcastic.
Well, being really clear and intentional is key. If you're not serious about a legal agreement, make sure your actions and your words really show that.
Right.
Don't be ambiguous.
If you're going to submit, like, a joke suggestion, maybe just add a little disclaimer, like, just kidding, guys. No contracts here.
Uh-huh. That's one way to do it, yeah. Or, you know, just avoid doing anything that could be seen as a serious offer. Or acceptance.
Right, right. This whole conversation has really shown how important it is to, like, think before you act, especially when it comes to, like, business deals and legal stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Contract law, it's everywhere, even when we don't realize it. In this case, Industrial America, Inc. v. Fulton Industries, Inc. It's like a big wake-up call that our actions can have these unforeseen legal effects.
Yeah, it's definitely a case to remember.
For sure.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive today.
Mm.
We've covered a lot, from that objective theory of contracts to all the details about offers and acceptance. And we even went into those what-if scenarios.
Yeah, it's been great exploring these complex ideas with you. I hope our listeners, they've gained a new appreciation for how tricky contract law can be.
Yeah, me too. Before we sign off, do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Just remember, clarity is key. Be intentional in how you communicate. Document everything really carefully. And don't be afraid to reach out for legal help if you need it.
Well said. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into Industrial America, Inc. v. Fulton Industries, Inc. We hope you learned something new and feel a little more confident navigating the world of contracts. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.